Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a Mel Gibson movie that's, I think, about 20 years old now called The Patriot. It takes place during the American Revolutionary War, where America fought for freedom from the British Empire. And it centers around Mel Gibson's character, whose name is Benjamin Martin. And Benjamin Martin is a hero to many of the people, many of his friends. He served as in the French-Canadian War. And while he served in the French-Canadian War, he did some things that really haunt him. And because of this, he's seen the evils of war, and he is very reluctant to join American soldiers in the Revolutionary War. But he does join eventually, and he joins primarily to protect his son, who enlisted without his permission. And so Benjamin Martin enlists, and he and his son fight together. But when his son is eventually killed in a skirmish, and the scene changes, and Benjamin Martin is kneeling over his son's body, almost in vigil, he tells a friend of his who comes into the room with him, and he says, "I have long feared that my sins would return to haunt me, and the cost would be more than I could bear." And for a time, there is nothing that will console him. There is nothing that would give him comfort. In our passage from Isaiah 40, Isaiah finds the people of God in exile for a long time. Their whole history, the people of God have tested God's long-suffering mercy. They've tested over and over again God's kindness towards them, His patience for them, and they've done so in vile ways. And now their sins have returned to haunt them. Places in Scripture, in the Old Testament, especially the prophet Hosea, will talk about Israel like they're a wayward, adulterous spouse of the Lord. And like a wayward spouse, Israel has flirted and consorted with other lovers, others with the names like Baal and Astarte, false gods. They've consorted with those who would entice her into believing that she is the only one and that only her desires truly matter. And in Isaiah, what we have is we have a people who were once freed by God from slavery are now enslaving others into poverty. They're neglecting the widow. They're neglecting the orphan, the poor, the refugee among them. And as they enslave others, they find themselves to now be slaves once again. Slaves to their own sinful desires, their own power, their own security, slave to their own desires. They are now, as Scripture often speaks of us, slaves to sin and death. And so we find in Isaiah that the Lord is forced to divorce from this adulterous spouse. He divorces himself from her, from his people entirely. He ordains a foreign power by the name of Babylon to come into to Judah to sack the city of Jerusalem, to lay waste to the temple, the place where they were supposed to worship the Lord. The Lord ordains it all, permits it all, allows destruction to happen. And Babylon, as true to their nature, they're a slash and burn type of people. They lay waste to the country and they take all the best of the people and all the best of the kingdom out and take it for themselves. And in one fell swoop, God's people lose the land that was promised to them. They lose the temple that was built so they could worship and meet the Lord directly, a place where they could have atonement for their sins. They lose, essentially, their whole identity. And as we see them in Isaiah, they have questions. And they wonder now, are we still God's people? Did we not only lose our land, did we not only lose our temple, did we lose God as well? And God says, frankly, in other places in Scripture, you are now not my people, and I am now not your God. It's a stinging condemnation for a people that he once said, I am your God, and you are my people. Their sins have returned and visited upon them, and the cost is way more they can bear. Who shall comfort them? Who shall console them? Our sin, no matter how small or how insignificant it might feel, always, always, always returns upon us. It is always paid back. Here in Isaiah chapter 40 starts by talking about how God paid double upon the people for their sins. Our sin might return to us in shameful consequences, relationships hurt, damaged, destroyed, broken, jobs lost, trust shattered, a heart weighed down by guilt and shame. Sin always has its due. The sin of Isaiah's people has come due. They need consolation, but they wonder, where will it come from? Their sin, for them, has seemingly forever removed them from God. Their sin even goes so far as to think, they even commit the sin of underestimation, the sin that they possibly could be removed from God. And God then sends his prophet Isaiah to them. And the very first words Isaiah has as they go into captivity, as they go into exile, is not a word of condemnation. It's a word of comfort. And just as their sin has been paid upon them in double, in the original Hebrew language, God doubles his comfort to them. He says, comfort, comfort my people. Comfort my people. He still lays claim to them, even though they have been adulterous to him. And later on, the Lord will say to Isaiah, tell them, your God is here. Everything about them, despite everything they've done, God still lays claim to them. He still is their God. They are still his people. The Lord is yours. You are God's people. God is your God. He is your comfort. He is your consolation. Anything you might have done that is visited upon you, anything that you fear that will be repaid upon you, the Lord's message is comfort, consolation. Your God is here. These words from Isaiah are used to describe John the Baptist, as we saw in Luke chapter 3. And John in his way of comforting people is to remind them, your God is here, prepare the way of the Lord. And we do so simply by repenting, by admitting, Lord, I am a sinner. I need you. Only you can clean me. Christ is here, and he comes with inexhaustible mercy, inexhaustible grace, and forgiveness. Today, open your heart to receive the Lord. He is your God. And by faith, you are his people. And so great is his mercy that when sin is about to be returned upon us, he stands in its path. And he bears the terrible cost fully for us. Of course, he does this for us on the cross. This is the promised glory of God, the promised glory of our Lord, manifest for all to see. God has given you eyes to see, to look to Jesus. Through faith in him, you are his child. And he is not only your comfort now, but comfort for all time, for all days, as Christ says, lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And so at the end of the service, we'll sing again, come thou long-expected Jesus, Israel's strength and consolation, comfort, hope of all the earth thou art. Let us pray. Almighty, gracious, and heavenly Father, you are our comfort and our consolation. O Lord, help us to have repentant hearts, hearts that turn towards you. Keep us from sin. Help us to resist temptation. But comfort us with the thought, with the knowledge that when we do fall, you are there for us. That you have taken the full cost upon yourself and grant us your mercy and forgiveness and grace. That nothing we do could ever divorce us from you. We give you thanks. We pray this in your name. Amen.